This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Greetings, my friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. Tom Hartman here with you. Louise and I are down here in Orlando for this 9-day workshop on neurolinguistic programming, which is turning out to be just absolutely mind-bogglingly fascinating, and I'll be telling you about that a little more as we go on through the day. But it is time, you know, typically we do this on Wednesday, but I'm here on Thursday, and I believe Congressman Mark Pocan is too. Are you with us, sir? He's not in his chair yet? Not yet. Okay. Well, we're waiting for Congressman Mark Pocan to show up. But when he does, hopefully he didn't get dragged off for a vote or something. There's this wild hearing going on right now in the House of Representatives, but I believe it's all committee heads who are doing the hearing. I was watching part of this thing this morning with the Peter Strzok, the FBI agent, I guess, who was having this affair with, I think her name was Lisa Page, and they were communicating, not using their FBI phones, but their private phones. But, the Republicans got a hold of these private communications, and, he clearly had some political opinions. And, boy, are they're going after him on that. So we'll see where that goes. A couple of points that I'd like to share with you while we're waiting for Congressman Pocan to show up are that I assume, Sean, that you're calling them right now on their cell phone to make sure that, everything's okay. Yeah, you might want to try and call in his cell phone and see what's going on. Just a couple things, just some observations that I think are really important for us all to pay attention to. Number one, if Donald Trump thinks that he is going to harm the economy of China by tariffs, and that he's got some, incredible leverage to do that and all that, all that sort of thing, he has another think coming. This, China has essentially done basically the exact same thing that the United States did back in the 19th century, and that is build their economy using the structure, essentially, of tariffs and promotion of domestic industries. These are phrases from Alexander Hamilton's 1793 report on the subject of manufacturers. They have used these systems, in our case it was Buy America provisions, in their case the government can only buy from Chinese manufacturers. They subsidize industries until they're up and strong, they protect them with tariffs, things like that. They have reached the point, China has, and they were very much not there the month of November 1986 when I lived in China and studied acupuncture at the acupuncture hospital there. I was in Beijing, and there were no skyscrapers. There were virtually no cars. I mean, I stood in Tiananmen Square, which is in front of a 12-lane highway, and it was just a sea of black bicycles, and maybe once every 5 minutes one car would go by. So they've gone from that in 1986 to being one of the most modern and well-developed countries in the world. So if Trump thinks that he's going to hurt China by simply, trashing them with tariffs, he's got another thing coming. They have reached the point where their own internal domestic market is large enough that they don't need us anymore. Now, they can cause us pain. We can cause them pain. I'm all in favor of an America First trade policy. I'm reluctant to use that phrase, America First, simply because of its horrible racist connotations going back to World War II. But anyhow, just for the point. But I understand Congressman Pocan is not with us.
Yes, sorry, Tom. Sorry, I had to be a little detained.
That's quite all right. You're a member of Congress. Stuff comes up. I get it. we're so happy to have you. And I would add, you're going to be with us for the hour taking calls. It's our Middays with Mark here on Thursday. We're live Thursday. I'm in Orlando. You're in, I assume, Washington, D.C.
Yes.
And Yes. And the Congressman Pocan's website, of course, is pocan.house.gov. He is the co-chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus, one of the largest, most active, and I think most important caucuses. Caucus is a group of people working together in the United States Congress. If you have calls for Congressman Pocan, 202-808-9925. He'll be with us for the hour taking your calls. And Congressman, just to kick this off, I'm curious your thoughts on what's going on right now in the world. Pick the topic that you think is most important.
Well, I think, you know, the most interesting, I spent 13 and a half hours in an appropriations hearing yesterday, so I spent a lot of time following the president's activities with NATO, picking a new energized fight with Germany after he's picked a fight with Canada, and now he's going to meet his buddy in Russia. It's a weird time, right? And watching what's going on, as you were just talking about with the tariffs, you know, I would feel more comfortable if he actually had an overall coherent message about what he's trying to do with trade. Instead, he's kind of throwing tariffs out somewhat indiscriminately. And we're just at a time where, you know, again, Donald Trump's lack of any international expertise is just showing over and over and over again. And, you know, he seems to care more about the people who can either grant him trademarks or anything else for his own ventures than what he's doing for the country. So it's just, I am as perplexed probably as everyone who's listening with how he handles international relations.
Yeah, in fact, Louise and I took Dr. Richard Bandler, who's teaching this seminar that we're at, out to dinner a couple nights ago, and the Uber driver was like, hey, Trump, with those tariffs, he's going to bring jobs back to America, right? And we all sort of made the point that if I'm the owner of a factory in the United States that is thinking, hey, you know, we're gonna put tariffs on Chinese-made products so that people in America will buy them from me, I'm not looking at a time horizon that ends in a year and a half, or at the most at 5.5 years at the end of the Trump presidency. I'm looking at a time horizon that has to be at least 10 to 20 years before I make a $100 million investment in expanding my factory. And by not doing this through you guys, through Congress, putting these things into law, but instead by doing them by presidential fiat, there's no company in America that's going to say, hey, we're going to risk everything on this. And so, you know, his instinct is right, but his execution is like a total bumble, you know. It's am I making sense?
Targeted tariffs can work, especially against countries that violate the rules. But this president seems to put them out via tweets. He puts them out against people who are following the rules that you'd normally have other things in place. So if you're going to do something with China, that's fine, because there are some valid issues we have with China. But then make sure you have some agreements with your allies to help make up for what you may be losing along the way. And none of that's happened. Instead, he's picking fights with our allies that we actually need, because he has no overall strategy. I think the best example I heard someone say is it's like he's a chef with all the right ingredients in front of him, and he has no idea what proportion of anything to put inside. So, you know, you can make a really great meal with what's in front of him, or you can make something that's unedible. And unfortunately, he's making something that's unedible.
And he's got a really sharp knife in his hand, and he's waving it around wildly, and we're all standing within 5 feet of him. It's the kind of damage that could be done by this. We're going to hit a hard break here in about 20 seconds, Congressman. We're doing, because I'm on the road, we're doing all hard breaks. So is there anything else that you'd like to point out?
I think that's been, you know, one of the big things that's going on. We hit the break. No worries.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We'll come back. We've got a whole stack of calls here for you from all over the country. So we'll just flip this right into Middays with Mark as soon as we get back from this break. Congressman Mark Pocan, the co-chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus, one of the really good guys in Congress, with us taking your calls. You can tweet him at Rep Mark Pocan, MarkPocan, Rep like in representative, Rep Mark Pocan.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
We'll be back with more of your calls right after this. And welcome back. Let's see here. Jared in Downington, Pennsylvania. You are on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hello, Tom, and hello, Congressman Pocan. I'm calling to ask you very simply, can America's reputation around the world recover after this? Because I just don't see any way, shape, or form we're ever going to be able to recover from this. I mean, our allies have basically, they've pretty much abandoned us at this point because of Trump's stupidity, his incompetence. He's isolated us from pretty much the world. I mean, North Korea has been a laughingstock of his administration. Kim Jong-un visited a potato farm when Mike Pompeo was there and he was supposed to have a visit. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing having him as president. And I don't think there's any way we're going to recover from this. And we're just going to decline into irrelevancy. What's your thoughts?
Jared, you know, I'll tell you what. I look at it. I try to find silver linings. In this case, I think it's a platinum lining. People don't hold the American – people around the country or world do not hold the American people at fault. They're holding Donald Trump at fault, and they're able to discern that it's this guy who's going around clumsily banging into all the China in the China shop, and that it's not the American people. He does have a percent of people who go to his rallies who support his crazy efforts, but that's not where the vast majority of Americans are. And just remember, when Barack Obama was elected, we were at a low point internationally, and he helped restore that, and we can do that again with maybe a Democratic Congress and Senate, or for sure a president in 2020. So I'm optimistic that, again, people understand this is Donald Trump, not America, and I think we can rebound. It's just we've got a lot of repairing that we're going to have to do because of this president.
Marie in Pipe Creek, Texas, you are on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Oh, hi, Congressman Pocan. Nice talking to you.
Same here.
I had a question, and I don't know if anybody has mentioned this, but with the Supreme Court, don't you think it's about time that we should change the Supreme Court? I think adding a few more people to the Supreme Court, having 50% male, 50% female, and actually having two or three of the Supreme Court members actually elected by the people, one man, one vote. And I just wanted to see if anybody... Isn't it about time? I mean, the Supreme Court...
Let's get his thoughts right now. We've only got about 30 seconds.
Yeah, you know, I think there have been people talking about proposals. I think, you know, the example that Mitch McConnell did by abusing the process for approval when Barack Obama should have had an appointment. And now if it turns out that, you know, we're appointing someone because they won't go after the president, because that's the only person who is being looked at who said you shouldn't go after a president while they're there. If it gets abused so far, I think clearly you're going to have more people talk about Supreme Court reform, and rightfully so.
Although I'm not sure I'd want to add more justices while Mr. Trump is president, but that's...
Absolutely.
I'm guessing you share that opinion. We'll be right back. It's Congressman Mark Pocan taking your calls for the Hour Middays of Mark Thursday edition here on the Tom Hartman Program. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Congressman Mark Pocan is on the line with us taking your calls. And let's see here. Caroline in Charlottesville, Virginia. Caroline, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan. Or Carolyn? I'm sorry. You have to be listening to your telephone, not your radio or app or TV or whatever it may be. Russ in Chicago. Hey, Russ, because there's a time delay. Russ in Chicago, listening on Chicago's Policy Talk. You're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
I wanted to ask you a question. Did I hear right that 56 of your dairy farmers have had to close because of the tariffs, and a guy in California is going to lose his job, and they're cheering Trump on saying he's strong on tariffs? Did I hear that right out of Wisconsin, that 56 of your places are closing?
Couldn't tell you the exact number, but we've had now for several weeks, we've had companies saying that they're losing contracts because of the tariffs. So in Wisconsin, it's not just dairy, it's also soybeans, and we have a lot of, especially in my district, soybean production. It's also companies like Harley-Davidson. Again, if this was done properly, you can have targeted tariffs be very effective tools. Donald Trump isn't doing it properly. He's just throwing these things out with no real policy, and that's what's making it completely not work. So he's basically taking, again, the right ingredients but throwing them together completely wrong, and that's why what he's put together has been a real mess.
Brent in Columbus, Ohio. You're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Thank you, Tom. Congressman, I'm a former local union president for United Steelworkers. And so my question is, you know, I have a lot of friends who actually supported the president, and I'm trying to explain in nuance why some of his policies that we have sort of maybe not done a great job explaining, things like our position on NAFTA or TPP or tariffs and how those things could help our industry. Now he's doing them, and as you just said, kind of throwing them together, not great. Is there some way that I could use a nuanced argument that I'm failing at that from your perspective? Is it you understand the nature of the question?
Yeah, no, I do. In fact, yeah, very much so, because I grew up in Kenosha, Wisconsin, a town that 14,000 people used to make cars, and no one does today. I understand deindustrialization, and you know, Donald Trump won Wisconsin, Michigan, and probably Pennsylvania because of his top line conversations about trade. There's real economic anxiety with people who've seen a lot of jobs leave the USA and not have something that pays as well to pick up in that. The problem is, while Donald Trump said the right things, he did it for all the wrong reasons, right? He talked about trade from a xenophobic sort of background. He's going to do it in a way that benefits his buddies because he is of that billionaire class of people. And it's not done with middle class workers in mind, because if it was, he wouldn't be doing things that are affecting jobs at Harley, or he wouldn't be doing some of the other measures that he's doing around trade or economics. He wouldn't give tax breaks to the wealthiest in this country at the expense of the middle class. So I think you got to look at his actions rather than his words, and his actions have benefited the top 1% and 2% of this country and not everyone else. And while the Democrats may not always have been especially articulate around trade, we do get that it's about how we empower the middle class and make sure that they have health care and a good family-supporting wage and those issues that are at the core of what we're running on. And that's not what Donald Trump runs on.
And I noticed that his daughter's products made in China are specifically exempted from the tariffs.
And Donald Trump's own products, right? For all the hyperbole around Harley-Davidson, a pretty iconic American product, here, you know, he does his own products overseas. This man is a hypocrite, and he doesn't understand what he's doing.
Devin in Chesapeake, Virginia. You're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Yeah,
have about a minute and a half, Devin, so please make it quick.
Yes. Is it possible that Donald Trump could be a Manchurian candidate, recruited and trained and by the Russians, and hence what he's doing is inevitable?
Devin, I wish it were as simple as that. I don't think it is. I think Donald Trump cares about something very deeply, and that subject is Donald Trump. And he cares about his wealth and his family and making money, and much of the actions we've seen he's done have been in the interest of his family, business operations, and he himself personally. So, you know, if there's a Manchurian candidate, I doubt that. It would be nice if you thought there was a reason like that he does what he does. The problem is, this is a very selfish, a very narcissistic individual who does things for his own personal profits, and he does it for his own personal ego. And that really is, unfortunately, as simple as it is, and yet he somehow became president.
Well, he had Michael Cohen negotiating a Trump hotel in Moscow 3 months before the election. I mean, that would kind of indicate that might have a lot to do with why he's sucking up to Russia. Maybe he still wants
absolutely
to have the hotel.
And in China, I mean, you know, as he was doing negotiations, he's getting trademarks for their products, for their family products. I mean, clearly, Donald Trump does much that's in the interest of Donald Trump.
Yeah, and tragically, just before or during the primaries, I guess, he made the joke, I think I'll be the first guy to ever run for president and make money on it. Whew, it's happening. Congressman Mark Pocan, with us for the hour, taking your calls. We're hitting the news break here at the bottom of the hour. We'll be back in about 5 minutes with more of your calls for Congressman Pocan. You can check out his website at pocan.house.gov. He's the co-chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus. You can Google that. And you can tweet him at
Rep. Mark Pocan. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
More of your calls for Congressman Pocan right after this. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you live from Orlando, where we're attending a seminar. It's purenlp.com if you want to check it out. Congressman Mark Pocan is with us. He is, you know all this stuff. Congressman, you're still with us, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay, great. Great. I don't have a monitor here. I can't see what's going on.
Oh, so, I am here. Yeah, don't worry.
Let's pick up some more phone calls here. This is a trucker in Knoxville, Tennessee. Oh, Trucker Sam. Hey, Sam, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Thank you. Greetings.
Hi, Sam.
Congressman, why is no one investigating who is making money off of separating these children from their parents down on the border? Somebody's making
it. And one of these companies is charging $700 a day to hold these children, and Betsy DeVos is a stockholder in the company. What's going on with this, Congressman?
Oh.
Yeah, and there have been some articles starting to show the connections, the donations from one of the major firms in Texas that's running these. I'm not necessarily thinking that they're doing this to empower the firms, because I think Donald Trump is doing this to get cheers at his rallies when he talks about the need for a wall, right? He is doing all of these things to try to rally that xenophobic part of his base, the racist part of his base. But the companies that are doing this, because, again, he had no plan when he made these decrees. And what we saw this week is he's had a fraction of the children he was court-ordered to reunite. He has reunited. He's mishandling this because there was no plan when he put it together. I think if this was done purely to give money to a company, there would have been a better plan of attack. And instead, this is done because Donald Trump operates like Donald Trump operates. He just makes a decree and then thinks he's doing what's best regardless of anyone else, because that's Donald Trump. So I certainly am having concerns with what's there. We're going to see more if there is anything that leads to it. But I truly believe he did this just because he's Donald Trump. He makes a decree. He thinks he's right on something. And I could see when I was at the border, this has been done with no planning whatsoever. That's why it's been chaotic. That's why we can't find kids and their parents to reunite. And that's why it's been such a terrible, terrible mess.
Charles, in Opa-locka, Florida. You're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hey, how you doing today, Mr. Pocan?
Very good, Charles. Thank you.
Okay, I'm looking at these hearings right now, and I'm thinking, wait, first of all, you have Donald Trump and these Republicans and the administration trying to force Rob Rosenstein, I think, the FBI guy, to release information about an ongoing investigation about Russian conspiracy. And right now, you have Bob Goodlatte actually saying to the Democrats know that they should not release, because of ongoing investigation that they're doing, that you should not release transcripts of Peter Strzok's first closed door meeting with the committee. And I just see that this is just like, you know, they're full of it. But my question to you is this: are you going to hold any town hall meetings on trying to stop this Supreme Court pick? Because to me, Mitch McConnell made up a rule, and he's going against it just for partisan reasons. They're trying to take over. And I would like to know if you're going to be willing to put your constituents out there and let them air, you know, their worries, and hopefully we can get this on the news too.
Yeah, so Charles, I mean, so as you know, the Senate does the confirmation of the Supreme Court. So I'm hoping that senators will do exactly what you're saying, because I think if people get a chance to be heard, as we know right now, the people are very energized and watching what's going on in this country. And when you see a pick that appears to be the sole reason why this person was selected to be in the Supreme Court is because they're the one person who said you shouldn't go after a president while they're sitting as a president – certainly is a parallel to what's going on right now. And Donald Trump cares about one thing and one thing only, and that's Donald Trump. So we would love to have people's voices heard, and that's what senators should be following. So I certainly hope that's what they'll do. People should reach out to their senators on this to make sure that they're heard. But I know that there are a lot of pressures we're reading about because of the election coming up. And I can also tell you from doing some programs recently on Fox, as I listen to people in the green room, they're excited because they know their base has not been motivated, and they think they could motivate the base around abortion and a Supreme Court pick. So, you know, they may try to use this in very, very political ways because they've had an uninspired base up to this point because of Donald Trump. So there's a lot going on, but the best thing we can do is reach out to our senators and make sure they know what we think.
Stephen in Santa Fe, New Mexico, listening on 1260 AM. Stephen, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan. Stephen, once again, you got to listen to your telephone, not your radio, because there is a delay. It takes time for electrons to move around. Plus, there's an obscenity delay, so if somebody says a bad word, we can push the button and it goes away. Ken, in Great, so call back, Stephen. There's at least one empty line right now. Ken, in Great Falls, Montana, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. It's a question about immigration. One of the big problems we have is there are 8 million people who are illegally working in this nation. Now, that means there's probably about 200,000 to 300,000 illegal employers. I would like to see the Democrats have a zero-tolerance program for illegal employers. Let's put that ball in the court, because it's really a travesty to have these illegal people working because they have no rights. They don't call OSHA when there's problems. They're always in fear. And the Chamber of Commerce loves this. The manufacturers love this. These are the kind of employees they want. We need to get all these people documented. But if we started putting these employers in prison and giant fines, let's put it in their court.
Yeah, Ken.
Can we separate employers from their families?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, Ken. And, you know, I don't expect Paul Ryan to do that, right? Because, as you said, a lot of folks with the U.S. Chamber and others like it just the way it is, right? They've got people that can't report abuses or overtime law violations or a whole lot of other things. What I hope all of this is doing, and I think the separation of children from families has been the catalyst to make us look at just how cruel and inhumane and un-American the system we have right now, and Congress not doing anything about this since I've been here. This is my sixth year, and that first session, a bipartisan bill came out of the Senate. Not perfect, but it had some extra protection at the borders, but more importantly, it also had a pathway to citizenship for aspiring Americans and actually dealing with the problem that we all know is existing in this country. And the House of Representatives under Republican leadership didn't take it up. You know, maybe what we need to do is actually have that comprehensive immigration reform debate, and now people are seeing what happens when you don't. You can have a president who uses agencies as his own police forces, deportation forces, going after people with, you know, traffic violations, going after people with decade-old minor offenses in order to gin up numbers for a wall rather than dealing with the issue as we need to, that there are millions and millions of people who are currently here, and we need to figure the system out, and doing nothing is unacceptable. So I'm hopeful that the catalyst really has been Donald Trump being so perversely wrong by separating kids from their parents that now people who don't normally think about this are woken up to the issue. And now let's have that real debate, because I think American people get that this is a nation of immigrants and we've got to have a solution and not let it linger.
Courtney in Ukiah, Courtney in Ukiah, California. You're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking us on the road with you. And hi, Congressman. I just wanted to get your thoughts on, you know, I'm listening to everybody's concern over the new Supreme Court appointee in Roe versus Wade. And, I mean, that's understandable, of course, but
Go ahead, Courtney. We're still listening, unless your phone just faded out.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah. You want to finish your sentence? Real quick. We're just a minute and a half away from a break.
Okay. So Roe versus Wade is nothing more than set legal precedent. I mean, so what would stop us when we take back the House and the Senate come November, Democrats, why can't we pass a federal law protecting abortion rights? Yeah, I understand that it may be touchy with, you know, states' rights versus federal authority, but it seems like something should be able to be done on that.
Let's let Congressman Polk in.
Sure, and I think from what I've seen, most of the hypothesization is if the court decides to go after this, which is going to have a little bit of lead time, it'll be more going after aspects of abortion rather than going directly immediately after Roe versus Wade. So you're right. There are many things we can do. What we don't want to do is have a patchwork of laws across the country. And the best way we can resolve this is to really deal with the Supreme Court up front and directly. But you're right. There are many other ways I think they're going to come and attack this as a Supreme Court that we have to be ready for and be ready to legislate around.
I saw where one of the we're just a little more than 30 seconds away from a break here. I saw where one of the governors, and I'm sorry I don't remember which one it was. I've been reading so many news stories on this stuff lately. Just came out and said that if the court strikes down Roe, that state has a law, 160-year-old law, making abortion illegal under all circumstances and in all places, which has been unenforceable since 1973 because of Roe, and so they never bothered to take it off the books. If the court strikes that down in that particular state, Roe become, you know, abortion becomes illegal. That governor said that they would refuse to enforce the law. Do you foresee that kind of thing?
Yeah, already I've seen even candidates say that would happen in their state if they would get elected.
Yeah, there you go. Congressman Mark Pocan taking your calls for the hour. It's Middays with Mark on the Tom Hartman program. We'll be back with more of your calls for Congressman Pocan.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
You can check out Congressman Pocan's website at pocan.house.gov. You can tweet him at Rep, R-E-P, Mark Pocan. Atlanta, Georgia, you are on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Thanks. Representative Pocan, as you know, and we've listened, there are way too many issues that progressives have to be concerned with. But I've been listening to the Congress's hearings this morning with Peter Stroik, the FBI agent, and I find it not only truly amazing but extremely scary that way too many of your Republican comrades do not appear to care about our republic or our democracy. And they don't care about how Donald Trump came, if it was done with Russian interference, and whether Mr. Trump was actually involved in that interference. And so I have just a question that I have to ask it. If I'm upset about anything, I don't believe that another 40 years we will have a country, a republic, or a democracy. And I want to know, can we hold members of Congress who are doing everything they can to protect Trump responsible besides voting him out? Can we charge a member of Congress with treason? And can a representative be charged for abrogating their responsibility in protecting and not protecting the U.S. Constitution?
Yeah, well, first of all, I mean, yes, you can charge someone with treason if they do something, but I don't think you're going to find it from what actions you're seeing at the hearing. I think what we're doing is the best way you affect people in Congress that are letting the president do what he's doing in this situation is you change the faces of those people who are in Congress. That is your most direct way to deal with this. To try to charge someone with treason and go through all that, trust me, far, far, far more complicated and less likely it would ever happen. You getting people out to vote in November and voting out people who are complicit with the president's actions, far more doable, and that's where we really have to have people focus.
We have a little more than, we have a minute and a half here. Omar in Herndon, Virginia, we got a minute to the break. Omar, quick question for the congressman.
Yes, very quick. Greeting to everybody. You know, the Trump administration denying bail to a lot of these detainees because that's a way to prevent them from uniting with their families. Are we doing anything to make sure that they all receive bail? Is Congress doing anything?
I'm sorry, did you get anything too? I missed that part.
all of the detainees that are being detained, the migrant who crossed the border, they're being detained and they're being denied bail. I mean, the government is not allowing them to get bail so they can go over now with their families, because you have to be able to get out to be able to get united with your family.
Right.
So is Congress doing anything to make sure that they all get bail?
Yeah, this Congress won't under Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell, but that's part of what we're trying to highlight, right? You know, he claims he fixed taking kids away from their parents, but now you can lock up a five-year-old with their mother in a cage as long as they're with their mother. That still doesn't solve the problem. And it's all started from him not letting people go to a legal point of entry and claim asylum like international law says. So there are many things that we're trying to highlight. The good news is the public is getting it and we're winning on it.
We'll be back with more of your calls for Congressman Mark Pocan right after this. He's the co-chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus, represents the state of Wisconsin, and his Twitter handle, Rep. Mark Pocan. You can check out his website at pocan.house.gov. Pocan taking your calls, and let's see here, D. in Seattle, Washington. Hey, Dee, thanks for listening. You're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hi, thank you. I had a similar question in reference to the traitor. I disagree with your comments, because if a doctor had an intention of killing the patient, and you're saying, well, we'll have to go through a process to get him relieved of his duties, by that time the patient is dead, and that's America.
Your question presupposes that Trump is trying to destroy America. I can't buy that. Congressman, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I think if I understand what Dee's asking, which I'm not sure exactly if I do, but what I was saying is if you want to do charges of treason, you can, but that process, I don't even know if it's possible that it would happen. It's more likely that you're going to unelect someone in a few months in November. So if you want to be pragmatic about how to stop it, you get rid of the people who are doing those actions. So I'm really giving you the shortest, easiest path on how to accomplish that, not saying that, you know, there's not other paths. None of them are going to be as efficient or effective as electing them out of office in November.
In other words, vote. DJ in Chicago. Hey, DJ, you're on the air with Congressman.
Thank you. I'm thinking of these big guys, you know, because the machine comes with such power. But people need to keep in focus, please, that it's a worldwide, nationwide governmental, such a disastrous government. And the only way to fight it.
So, DJ, what's your question for Congressman Pocan?
Well, first of all, the war should be on global warming, World War III. And number two is, when are the...
Okay, DJ, what's your question?
What?
Okay, I'm going to move along and pick up a question here. Justin in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Hey, Justin, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hi, Tom, Senator. I'm Congressman Pocan. I have a couple of representatives down around my area. Basically, they do nothing. And I'm getting tired of having to come to them and talk to them and them always ask me for answers, and when I come up with the answers, they say, no, that's not right, and that sort of stuff. They don't move towards anything. Is there any way we can call them out as, quote-unquote, like welfare representatives? Because they choose to do nothing whatsoever, but they expect to get paid. I mean, that's my local representative and state and that sort of stuff, but I'm trying to move for different stuff. I'm wondering your point of view.
Yeah, Justin, I mean, the problem is there's going to be people who maybe don't agree with you, and their way of handling it is not to do anything, or they may not do much in office. And again, the best way to deal with that is through the electoral process. There's not a lot of other processes. Even in Wisconsin, when we tried a recall process on Scott Walker, it still was a recall process that went to an election. The more direct path to anything is run against people who aren't doing their jobs, vote against people who aren't doing their jobs. But elections matter. Elections have consequences. And what we've learned from this, with Donald Trump getting elected and Republican majorities in the House and Senate, is now you see the hearing that you have going on today. You see the separation of children and families at the border. You watch our international position falling apart because of tariffs, because of disrespective allies, because of embracing leaders of like North Korea and Russia. But all those consequences come from elections. So I know I'm repeating it, but I repeat it for a reason. That is the simplest and best way that you can grab control of our democracy is by being an active participant.
That's what it means to live in a republic. Dave, in Evansville, Wisconsin, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan. Please keep it quick. I think we just have about a minute and a half to the, oh, 2 minutes to the end of the the end of the hour.
Actually, okay, then can I stay on until after he's gone? Can I just say, Mark?
No, I'm not going to be taking calls. Anthony in upstate New York. Quick one for Congressman
Pocan.
Hey,
Congressman, I'll make it really, really quick. There's three people from Wisconsin separated from their families. Unfortunately, they were separated into coffins by illegal driving drunk. Plus, I could give you, if I had time, names of dozens of others who are separated from their families because of the actions of people here illegally. Are they just a casualty of the process, or how do we protect Americans and not just using ripping from families a term for people here illegally? I'd like to protect keeping families together in life of our own citizens first.
Sure, and you know what? In Wisconsin, there's more than three people that were killed by drunk drivers, I can assure you, in a very short amount of time, and it's not just because someone is not here on a legal basis. I know that certain people like to use those examples as a reason to why we need immigration reform, i.e. a wall, i.e. people who don't have darker color skin than themselves. But it's used in an extremely distorted way. Bottom line is there actually are lower evidences statistically of crime by people who are here in this country who are not citizens because they're quite honestly being far more careful when they're here than not. So let's not fall for that conservative rhetoric, and let's realize that when you separate a kid from a mother who've come here to a legal entry point to claim asylum, which is legal under international law, because of violence in countries that, quite honestly, we've exported the MS-13 gang members to El Salvador, Honduras, and Guatemala, and they're here for legal asylum reasons. They should be heard for legal asylum reasons and not treated like they aren't humans. That's the bottom line, and that goes beyond any rhetoric that's put out there by conservatives.
Congressman, thanks so much for being with us today. It's always great talking with you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Tom. Take care.
And we'll be back. John Laval is going to be with us. We talked about this on Tuesday. We're at this seminar on neurolinguistic programming. He is a master trainer of NLP and design human engineering and the president of the Society of NLP. So we're going to take about a half hour pause here and talk about that.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.